We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there, Knicks fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Coming at you on, what are we at? We're at Wednesday, July 21st, which means the draft is 1 week and 1 day away. And to me, that means we're a week and a day away from all hell breaking loose. I have a funny feeling that it's going to be an active couple of weeks. Just throwing it out there. I think the further we move along with the old National Basketball Association, the more these draft slash free agency periods are going to be times where, you know, the landscape of the league kind of shifts a little bit. I don't know. It seems like it's been heading that way for a while, and I think it's going to keep heading that way. But as for what that means for the Knicks, well, I guess we'll see. There was a report out from Kevin O'Connor today, or yesterday, I should say, from The Ringer, saying that the Knicks have been among the most aggressive suitors, inquiring with the Portland Trailblazers about the availability of one Damian Lillard. You know, take that to mean whatever you want to take it to mean. I suspect it means they have been, you know, just kicking the tires, seeing if he is indeed out there. As far as whether or not the Knicks have been offering up everything that they have to offer in terms of picks and young players, I would be a little bit more dubious of that. Aggressive can mean a lot of things. And I'll just leave it at that. We got a great show for you today. At a Scythe, a world-renowned musician. I'm just going to say it. He's a world-renowned musician because his stuff has appeared, you know, in conjunction with the NBA. It's appeared, you know, in conjunction with the NFL. It's appeared in conjunction recently with the NHL and the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, he's all over the place. He just dropped a new album not too long ago. We talked about the album. We talked about state of the music business right now. And of course, we talk about the Knicks a lot, as he is a massive, massive, massive Knicks fan. You know, all due respect to the slightly more headline-grabbing Knicks fans, your Spike Lees of the world and whoever else you want to throw in that bucket. Give me out of sight. Any day of the week and twice on Sunday, because we could actually have real conversations about the team, which we did for this episode. And it turned out quite well, and we had a lot of fun and we got into some cool topics. I think you're going to enjoy this. Stay tuned for that. The only other thing I want to say before I get to my convo with Rich is a shout out to the one and only Mike Vorkunov. Mike Vorkunov has been a guest on this podcast many times, and if I have my druthers, he will be a guest on this podcast once more in the next several weeks before he departs the New York Knicks beat. He has been obviously covering the Knicks for The Athletic for, I think, several years now. I'll have to ask him about this when he comes on again. But he's shifting. So he's going to still be at The Athletic, but he's going to be covering the NBA from a larger business standpoint, I think. I'm excited to see what he has in store, but he will be missed on the Knicks beat. One, because as I tell him whenever he's on this podcast, and I will say here, his analysis of the Knicks and his just writing about the Knicks is second to none. He does great. He has done a great job covering the team, and I will miss him writing about them. And also, just on a personal note, you know, as I've never tried to hide, I am not someone who has had a upbringing in journalism. I don't have any kind of a journalistic background. I've been kind of figuring this shit out as I go along, you know, occupying this weird in-between world between a fan that loves the team and also someone who tries to somewhat objectively cover them. And I will just say that Mike Vorkunov has been incredibly helpful, helping me kind of figure out my way as I've gone along through that process. So he will absolutely be missed on the Knicks beat, but look forward to continuing to read his stuff on The Athletic. So shout out to him. Anything else before we get to my conversation with Out of Sight? One more thing. Last thing. Shout out to Sam of The Good Life. Sam, wherever you are out there, big up to you. I hope this podcast reaches you well, and I will just leave it at that. On that note, let's get to my conversation with Out of Sight. Joining me now on the Knicks Film School podcast, he is, let's see, if Fuddy is the John Goodman of the Knicks Film School podcast, I mean, this next person has to be, I guess, the Tom Hanks. Maybe he's Mr. Baldwin. I'm trying to think what musicians have been. That's really the appropriate. Why don't I just introduce him? I know him as Rich. You know him as Out of Sight. Just dropped his fifth studio album. We're going to talk about that, the Knicks, everything. Rich, what's a musical performer that's been on SNL a ton? I'm trying to think.
I don't know. Have you had Robert Randolph on the pod yet?
Listen.
I feel like me and him, like I'm trying to take that Friday night's Knicks song from him and reverse the luck, although it was better this past year.
Robert Randolph would not be the Robert Randolph of this podcast if he came. Do you want to be the Robert Randolph?
Robert Randolph is dropping trade bombs on his Twitter.
But that's the, okay, the only way that you know for a fact that a trade or a signing or a draft pick is not happening. Like if he reports that your favorite player is going to be traded, you could go buy the jersey, you could invest in an autograph or whatever you want.
Yeah, he's over 100, but shouts to Robert Randolph, who's a fantastic musician, by the way. As far as I have no idea, but I'm happy to be a friend of the show. And it's fantastic watching you guys continue to grow as a publication. Congrats on the Patreon. I subscribe to the newsletter. You guys are putting out content constantly. You are the creme de la creme of all Knicks news. Shouts to you guys.
Oh, listen.
And I see that Vork is leaving The Athletic. I would be surprised if they don't come after J-Mac.
Listen, okay.
Well, first, Knicks Daily Beat.
He's not even leaving The Athletic. He's leaving the Knicks beat.
Yeah. Somebody's got to do the Knicks beat for The Athletic. I paid $60. Somebody better be writing some articles.
What would you do if they're like, welcome to your newest Knicks beat reporter for The Athletic, Frank Isola. How would you feel about that?
Frank is happy being a national reporter.
I think he likes it.
He loves trolling Knicks fans too. So
yeah.
No, I don't know. Next Athletic Knicks beat reporter, Robert Randolph.
I'd love to read his analysis of the Knicks. That would be spectacular.
Woo, he's got the Jim Dolan plug. Anyways, thank you for having me, though.
Dude, you guys have been killing it.
For real, though.
Oh, thank you. Speaking of killing it, listen, we're going to talk about the Knicks in a little bit.
Yeah.
I got to start with you. I said it before. I had to confirm with you because I'm like, no, this can't be his fifth. But it is your fifth
album.
Studio album. Five studio albums in the last decade. Is that?
Wow.
It feels like a lot, right?
I think it's about standard. I think, you know, it's very easy to not put out five albums because, you know, it's a crazy industry. So I feel very lucky that I've made a career and put out five albums in 10 years. And I've put out a lot of music. I've always been in a, you know how there's gym rats in basketball? I'm a studio rat. So I've always been that way, especially the past 5-6 years when I've been putting music out independently. So I take, you know, recording seriously. So I'll Monday through Friday, we'll be at my desk, set hours and work, and just really happy with the album. It had been actually, my last album was 2018. So I had been putting out a bunch of singles, and this was the first album I put out on my record label, 83 Sound. So super stoked on
that. The first one.
Yeah, so I put out like a bunch of singles the past few years on 83 Sound. I did like a little EP, but I hadn't put out a full length album. Now, albums these days is the format. It's not a dying format because great artists put out great albums.
Sure.
I've always been a bit more singles driven. I'll just kind of ride, you know, put out songs and ride the wave and see what happens with any song. You just never can predict. But it's nice to put out a full body of work. And so,
it's interesting, like how that is that, like, you're cool putting, you would put out like small stuff on your own things, but like for an album you would do through a different, like, is the business, I wouldn't have to get too much into this, but is this a tougher business to navigate than it appears to be? Or cause I just don't know much about it.
Well, the music business has gone through crazy changes over the past few years. It's actually right now a very lucrative time in the music business for those who have been in the game because, you know, just like the listener, everything's changed for them. Like, you know, when I first started out, I put out my first album and Tonight Is the Night and all that. It was all about selling your stuff on iTunes, right? And then it transitioned and went to streaming. And now streaming is the main, you know, way that people digest music and listen to music. So streaming has really changed the game just in terms of the bigger players for sure. It also has definitely allowed independent artists to do different things.
So what does that mean for you that now everything has to be?
Well, for me, my business really has turned into, I just put out my style of music and then we work closely with a lot of brands, TV, film, and I do a lot of music licensing. And I don't make music for licensing. I make music and hope it gets licensed. And, you know, like we just did, had the intro to the Stanley Cup Finals, which was really fun.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah,
kind of a big deal. Just listen, I like how you just slip it in there. It's kind of a big deal.
It's awesome. I always love working with the sports leagues. You know, a few years ago, we did the NBA playoffs.
Sure.
Which was probably one of the highlights of my career for sure. That was amazing. So, and we worked with Monday Night Football the last year. So just, I love working with the sports leagues because, you know, we're all just huge sports diehards here. So anytime we can do that is really fun. And yeah, now I have a label that I do with my producer, Cook Classics. It's called 83 Sound, and we're putting out artists too. And we're just trying to help them, you know, navigate through the world. And our artist Chelsea Perkins just had the trailer for this show on Netflix called Never Have I Ever, which is just a massive show. So it's been a really huge. Yeah,
it's my favorite show on Netflix. I'm only
really?
So don't say anything. I'm only an episode and a half in because things have been
amazing.
A little busy over here for season two. Obviously,
great.
Season one's honestly one of the funniest single seasons of television I could remember watching as an
amazing.
Adult.
Yeah, so our artist was the trailer for season two. And
that's
just
awesome. That's great.
The amount of engagement was just fantastic. I mean, I'll be honest, I wasn't familiar with the show, so I was just like, holy
shit. I hope you've watched
it
now.
Massive. Yeah. And it was number one on Netflix all weekend. Yeah. So just so you know, just hustling, man. But it's a good time in the business as long as the world isn't shut down. So fingers crossed.
Well, I mean, you know, so I'm out here on Long Island for the time being. Like, you know, I wouldn't even go over to the preserve during the whole pandemic. I would just, when I would do my running, I would just like run up like the block because I knew there would be like no people like near me because obviously we were all like freaked out for the better part of a year. And sure. What do you call it? All time fave, man, over the last couple months was just, I was in automatic. I'm not even talking about like every other run, like every run I went on. And you reminded me of that. You reminded me of that when you talk about like how all the sports leagues go and dig your stuff because I'm really not going to try to sound like an old man, but I'm going to sound like an old man anyway. Like music today, the music that gets made nowadays is not like, when I hear most music, I don't think like, okay, that's something that's going to get me pumped up. It's going to get me excited. It's going to get me happy. It's all the thing, all the feelings like that. That's what I want. It's like what I want when I run. It's if I go to the gym, if I go out to the club, and when I'm watching, like about to watch a big game, that's the type of thing I want.
Yeah. And you know, I think the trend in the industry musically over the past few years was definitely a bit more low key. I don't want to say sad, but you know,
can say it. I think it's fucking sad. Sorry, but
yeah, there. And you know, even like 5-6 years ago when I started putting out music independently, I came out with The Wildlife and it just did really well. And you know, I'm the guy in my first single, I said, if I got one chance, motherfucker, I'm gonna make y'all dance. So for me, it was just like, it wasn't necessarily cool, but I was just like, I'm just a fun loving person. So this is just the music I like to make. So I think I've low key built a functioning brand of fun music. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I love doing it. And the album is chock full of just, you know, like uplifting or just like fun loving songs that like you can play loud and just kind of let loose. And so I pride myself on that. And I don't think it's corny. You know, it's a very fine line.
But corny is inauthentic, to me at least.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. Yeah, for sure. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, I came up rapping in New York City. So like, I know, you know what I mean? Like, so I pride myself as a songwriter, but like I came up open mics in New York City, in Manhattan, in Brooklyn for years, like, and earned my way through, you know what I mean? And so I got, you know, I got some cred. I'm not acting like, you know, but you know what I mean? Like, no, I paid my dues.
Can I ask you, because is there like a confidence that you have that you know you don't have to worry? That's the wrong way. But like, you know, based on that history, that you know in your heart you're authentic. And that nobody can legitimately question that. So if you're going to put out like a dance record, like fuck it, I'm going to put out a fucking dance record because that's what I want to do. You know? Do you get what I'm saying?
100%. I think it's, you know, you just got to be true to what you love. For me, like I listen to fun music. Like I like funky music. I like soul music. I like funk. You know what I mean? I like, you know, like classic R&B that like feels good. So for me to make that style of music is very much just, you know, very real to me. So I think that's what it comes down to. You know what I mean? Just trying to make stuff that you love. So every song on this album, I was bumping loud, like, damn, you know, I love this. You know what I mean? At one point. So I'm happy to share it.
I have to just tell you very quickly. So I think I've told you this before that I was in many past lives ago, a DJ, I was really more of an MC. I didn't, all my spinning was done through, like the CD player where you weren't actually spinning a real record, but you could.
Right. Still, CDJs.
Yeah, basically. My DJ name was DJ Johnny Jams. And
Jams.
And there are still people to this day that if they see me in those streets of New York, they'll be like, yo, Jams, what's up? Because that's the only thing they ever knew me as. And then when I saw the cover art for your album, I'm like, this mother, I was like, what are the odds? amazing.
Well, I knew. That's why I named it Jams. Because one night on Staten Island, many moons ago, there was a DJ who just played every record I loved. His name was Jams. I remembered him. That's tight. Yeah, and honestly, I had this title for like the better part of a year, and then you know, it just was a weird time, so it kind of like metamorphosized. But I just like the music kept changing and working on more and more stuff, whatever. But I just kept the title. I was like, I like this title because it just felt like it was a very apt way to describe the music. You know, it's just Jams. Like, it's just something fun and colorful. And that's why I wanted the cover to be like super colorful too.
Yeah.
So it's because it's like if the music feels very colorful to me.
One more thing on the album before we talk some basketball, which is that, you know, obviously this past year and almost a year and a half now, it's never ending, has been, you know, not the most fun. Do you feel like this is not more meaningful or more needed, but do you just feel good about like, okay, it feels like we're maybe not coming out of it, but like, I don't know. I feel like we need stuff like this more even so than before. Did you think about that throughout the process at
100%.
All?
100%. I mean, for me, I needed it. You know what I mean? Like when I was making this music, I think every song on this album I made here at my desk. We bought a house last year, set up the studio. We bought it during COVID and set up the studio. And then I would do a Zoom session with my homie Shaban and we would jam. And we had like, there's like a way to do it now where like I can hear the music that's in his interface and like just, you know, all digital. And I'm just writing and singing in my voice memo. Then I would take it into my studio and make the demo. And then me and Cook, my producer, would work on it. And we did it all digital. And for me, like getting lost in that really kind of was an escape from like a very strange reality. And I thought it was really important. And I wrote a song like Guess Who's Back for like thinking about like when shit gets back. You know, we've had like a lot of stop and starts and who knows where the hell we're at now. But
yeah,
all together now was like about like shit, like being on a stoop. Like having a beer with the radio loud. You know what I mean? Like going back to that, like kind of like reminiscing a bit, but like thinking about what it would be like. So it was an escape for me. You know what I mean? And that's, I feel so incredibly just lucky that I was able to work and be able to do that. You know what I mean? Because I know how hard it was for just so many people. So I just felt really, really blessed to be working. So I just worked my ass off and trying to make something great. You know what I mean? Because that's all I know how to do, really.
No,
I make songs, baby.
I feel you because, like, kind of that was, albeit in a very different way and different type of venue. That was like a lot of the last year and a half for me because it's like, you know, you can't really do much else. It's like, all right, I'll throw myself into the work, which, you know, we keep busy over here, as it were.
No, I love it, and it's sports too. I mean, you guys have done a great job, and sports and the Knicks were just such a huge part of our lives this past year. And the fact that they were good during such a strange time was it was just amazing. You know what I mean? Like I remember the Knicks being good more than like a lot of other stuff. Just like it was like the perfect remedy. We needed it so bad.
Doing it, but it's, you know, when I think of, I don't know where I'm going to be in 20 years, but when I think back to, you know, the pandemic and like what I was doing, like this Knick team is going to stand out in my mind. And I'm thinking back to, so our pod, me, you and Fuddy, it wasn't like the first week of the regular season, but it was early. It was very early on, right?
What was our optimism level at that point? Do you remember?
Because I remember we were like, if they win this next game against this shitty team and go to, I don't know what they were at the time, but it was not like they were not, it was not that they were like great, but we were on such like cloud nine. And then it just, I don't know. We're almost a few months removed from it now. Was thinking back, I'm trying to think myself, was there a point where it became real for you? Like, oh shit, this is actually happening.
You know, I think it was like, we were on pins and needles until like that second half of the season where we were supposed to just drop off a cliff, yes. and they just kept winning. And I was like, oh shit, they're good. This is legit. Like all of a sudden, you know, games that, you know, even a few months ago, if you were looking at the schedule, like, we're not going to, we're not winning that. We're not going to. It's like, okay, they keep winning. So I feel like that second half run where it was like, you know, because I remember us in the beginning of the year, even in the middle of the season, kind of seeing that end of the season schedule and being like, this is where we'll fall off and, you know, we'll be lucky to be an 8 seed, you know? And it was just like, that just did not occur. And they ended up 4 seed somehow.
I mean, but if you looked even at even at the All-Star break, like if you looked at what became the 9-game win streak, and you could have looked at every one of those games, Memphis, Raptors, Lakers, Pelicans, Mavs, Pelicans, Hornets, Hawks, Raptors. You could have looked at every one of those games and be like, yeah, that's a game that I think the Knicks might lose that game. I don't know how I feel about that game.
100%. You know what I mean? Being like, if we could go 5-4, 6-3 there, it'd be great. Like 9-0. Yeah. So, you know, they squeezed Tibbs squeezed the juice out of this team as much as we, you know what I mean?
Bone dry.
Bone dry. And it was awesome because, you know what? I was talking to my friend who's a Knicks detractor, and he's like, you know, you guys, you just play hard during the regular season. That's the Tibbs thing. He just plays hard every game, and that's why he's always good in the regular season. And it's like teams just take off all the time. And I'm like, so be it.
Who cares? I'm comfortable with that.
So be it. You know what I mean? Fuck it. Give me the dub. I'll take the dub every time. So we'll see. It's a very lot of questions this offseason. It's a very fragile thing right now. Isn't it?
Well, I'm not going to call it a house of cards. I don't believe because I do believe the foundation that you just alluded to was very real. I think what Tibbs brings to the table is a real thing. Unlike some, I don't think there's an expiration date on Tibbs either, because I think if you look at his Chicago's teams, it may have gone south between him and the front office, but he, like up until the very last game he ever coached in Chicago, those guys played hard for him. Even guys that had been there for all 5 years, guys that were maybe there for 1 or 2 years.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So I'm not worried about that, but the roster. So let me ask you this. What you just said, there's a lot of questions. What is your single biggest, I don't know if you want to say single biggest question, single biggest worry, single biggest thing for this offseason?
Oh, man. You know, this is a really, there's so much. There's so many like variables right now, right?
That's the problem.
You know, we got these two picks. Draft is coming up. Quickly, shades of the 96 draft with pick 18 and 19, where we got the great Walter McCarty and John Wallace.
And don't forget pick, It was 18, 19, and 21, or there was a third pick in there, too, where we got some other guy who...
Yeah, exactly. That didn't go so well.
No, went poorly.
And there's no way Tibbs wants two rookies. So, it's I think draft night
will be... Don't forget 32. That's a pretty
good That's what I'm saying. So, I think draft night, we're going to see some action.
I agree.
Man, it's very interesting to see how everybody kind of values their players.
Yes.
Like, for example, the day the Dame Lillard rumors started popping up last week, I go to the basketball court and I ask my good buddy, Marty, who Dave plays with too. He's a Blazers fan from Portland.
Oh, okay.
Who would you trade Dame? I ain't trading Dame for nobody. Would you just, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, no, like the Knicks, you know, what if we did this? No way. I'm like, all right, what about the Celtics? If the Celtics offered Jaylen Brown, would you take a hell no? I don't want none of that. We're trading CJ. We ain't trading Dame. Okay, cool. Then I had to text my friend who's a Celtics fan. I was like, yo, let me ask you something. Would you trade Jaylen Brown for Dame Lillard? Hell no. Exclamation point. And I'm like, here I am as a Knicks fan. I don't know if I want to trade RJ Barrett for Dame Lillard. And it's like, I don't fucking know. Dame, KOC just came out with a great piece today about Dame.
Saw that.
I would say our odds are incredibly slim that we're in the mix on that. So it's just, that's not going to happen, right? It's not really.
I meant to put something in the newsletter about this today, and I quite frankly forgot because I didn't finish it until almost midnight last night. Let me just say that I agree with you that I do not think Damian Lillard is going to be on the Knicks next year.
Yeah, I don't see it. So, all right. So the next, look, we need a score. We need some playmakers. So the next thing is, and you've talked about it ad nauseum, is Colin Sexton's another guy that's been brought up a lot.
Do you want a sext? Are you a sexter? Only a night?
I look at it like this. I hear what I just was listening to your pod, and I feel like you're kind of anti-sex.
I am not a sexter by nature, but again, that Jeremy Cohen, he's very convincing.
He made great points. And I'll say this. I look at it too, like, okay, if you traded Obi, 19, and Knox, none of those assets will ever be as good as an asset as Sexton. So you're incredible. Like, if you ever wanted to move Sex, like, you know what I mean? If you ever was trying to, like, get a bigger fish, like, you could put Sexton in the middle of a bigger deal, maybe, where those three guys and those three assets. Like, I love Obi, and I think he played really, really well in the playoffs. I think, obviously, you kind of saw what it could turn into, but he's behind a second-team All-NBA player, and that's going to be a real challenge. So I don't know. I'm not opposed to it, but they need some scoring, and they're going to have to figure out, you know, who they want to bring back. All these guys played so well. None of them are coming back on the cheap. I mean, you probably can get Burks for another 1 year deal, I feel like,
but they're in a decent situation because they have Burks and Bullock, who, you know, this is probably a shiesty way to do business, but it's like, hey, we got one contract. I don't care. We'll give it to one of you. You know, it's like, this is the number that we're going to pick. Cause like, I think there's arguments for both guys. Personally, I'd rather bring back Bullock, but I think he's going to cost a little bit more. Yeah. I agree with you. Burks could probably more easily be had. And then there's Nerlens Noel and Mitch. I don't know if you saw, Nerlens did an interview today with Michael Scott of Hoopsite. He had a lot of nice things to say about his time with the Knicks, but it was definitely of a tenor of like reflecting back on something that is in the past. He seems like a guy who's going to be playing elsewhere next year.
Frankly, he deserves a nice little contract.
He should. He came off
a 1 year deal, and I think he played himself into a reasonable deal. Now, are the Knicks going to give it to him? I don't know. Is he perfect? You know what I mean? Like, you kind of got to see, like, with these tall rim running guys, like, they're great in stretches, but kind of replaceable. Mitch was replaceable.
They're very, I mean, listen, let's just call it like it is. They're replaceable.
You know, and it's like New Orleans had his flaws. I mean, he was overpowered by strong rebounders, didn't have great hands, and in the Hawks series just got eaten alive. But is, you know what I mean? Like, we needed the lob threat more. Mitch might have been more handy. So I don't know. So there's a lot of roster questions. My number one thing is definitely we need some sort of point guard help. Obviously, I don't think Quickley would be ready for that, and that's fine. I'm not opposed to a 2-year, $50 million Kyle Lowry contract, and I know most people are probably like, "That's crazy."
I don't think it's crazy.
You know, it's like you got the assets.
Yeah.
I'm more of the ilk of like try and keep the space and the assets because the shoe hasn't necessarily dropped yet for you to use them.
That's
like yes. You know what I mean? Is would Dame and Randall and a bare cupboard do anything for us anyway?
But that's the thing is they know they're not there yet. I think they know they're not there yet.
Like, one to 10, how concerned are you? Like, I don't want to say concerned, but like, do you really think Randall can play that well again?
Like, I think.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
How do I answer this question judiciously? I think what Randall showed last year is real. I think he is a very, very good player. I think the momentum of the season was such that I don't know that that's ever going to be replicated in quite that way.
Right.
And I think his future ideally lies being – what I'm really excited to see is being the second best player on a team. And I think where I'm different than some other folks – is I think he can be a very good number two. I think that dude wants to win. I think he showed me more, as much as what he did off the court this year. I think he showed us a lot of the fact, like who he is, what his priorities are, what he really cares about. Obviously, it's easier to care about winning when you are getting all the accolades. And I think there was, you know, and listen, Tibbs probably pulled him aside at the beginning of the year. Like, listen, you do what I tell you to do. You're going to get MVP votes and you're going to make, an all-star team. I don't even think he said all-NBA. That would have been even far-fetched. But I think if he maintains that mentality and that work ethic, which I have no reason to believe he won't.
Right.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he could do.
Sure. Yeah, I just... You know, it's he was just a whole nother level. I'm just curious to see the shooting is what really differentiated everything. So it's just going to be interesting. And I think the Atlanta series really scared the shit out of me personally because I was like, I know he's not that. And I understand his performance was not solely on him, right? It's just the game changes and, you know, the warts started to show.
Yes.
On the team. And Atlanta was way better than we gave them credit for.
Yes, they
were.
I mean,
they made a deep run, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see. But, like, you know, Dame and Randall, if you had to go and do it, give them everything. There's no way in God's, and I know I'm jumping around a lot, sorry.
But no, I
know there's no way in God's green earth the Blazers would ever do a deal without RJ. So it's just, I've heard the crazy, like, we'll just give them Mitch and Quickley and Obi and 17
first-rounders. Don't forget the Frank sign and trade.
It's like, yeah, no. Mitch Robinson is not going to be the best player you're giving them.
No.
And honestly, the Blazers historically have just never been a tear-it-down kind of team. Not in a long time. I think they would want to just go and get somebody like Ben. You know what I mean? And try and compete. Stick around.
Or you try to have your cake and eat it too. Like if I was them, I'd try to get a decent player, but also get a draft pick from a team that historically has maybe not been the best of franchises. Like to me, if I'm the Blazers, I don't want like a bunch of future picks from Philly. And honestly, if Dame's coming to the Knicks, which again, I don't think that's going to happen. But if he was coming here, I'm not sure that I would totally value like all the picks. You know, future picks from the Knicks as well. I think the Brooklyn situation with Harden's a little different because those guys are all pretty old, you know, but I don't know what the perfect trade is for them.
Yeah, me neither. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they just try and appease Dame by going and getting another piece. Maybe moving CJ.
Who's that piece? Where are they getting it from? What are they giving up? Like, that's the thing.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it looks like the most logical trade is, as Kevin O'Connor said today, is, you know, between the Sixers and the Blazers. You know, it seems the most logical. We'll see how that goes. But swinging it back on the Knicks, I mean, you know, if you got a guy like Lowry who played well last year, does, you know, you have Quickly, so you don't have to play him 35. You bring back D-Rose if you can. It's a culture guy. You hold on to the assets. Maybe you move up in the draft. You take 19 and 21 and go up to 13 or something, whatever. You know what I mean? So you don't have to bog down with a bunch of rookies for Tibbs. I don't know. I don't know, bro. I don't fucking know.
No, but see, but what you're vocalizing is the issue of this offseason, and it was to a certain extent the same issue of last offseason. The only difference was last offseason, not that there were no expectations, but I think the sit back and do nothing was a fine decision because, you know, they took on a little bit of salary for, you know, future second round picks and whatever else. They moved around a little bit in the draft. Like, they had young players. It's like, okay, it's all right if you punt on this season. That's totally fine. And we all expected them to effectively punt on the season and win, I don't know how many games we thought they would win, 25, 27, 30, you know, whatever it was. Not how many they won. But now it's a little bit different because, and this is what I keep getting caught up in, and I'm curious what you think, because we could sit here and say, you know, last year happened ahead of schedule. We're not there yet. We still need to be patient, all that stuff. And I think they should do all that. But it's a lot easier to say that and then turn around and be like, okay, I'm cool with another offseason where it's like there's nothing huge and that happens. I just wonder about the internal pressure they feel to just keep the momentum going. That's what 100%. That's what it is to me. You know what I mean?
And for sure. I mean, and it's interesting because it's like it's two ways it can go when you decide to like kind of fill the roster with one-year guys. And we saw 2 years ago with totally flopped and it was awful. And, you know, I mean, we all loved Bobby Portis, but, but, you know, it was just like, okay, fuck that. And then this year, you know, with great coaching and just, it just worked. And these guys were hungry and they brought in the right guys. And now you're kind of back. The main thing is you're kind of back to square one, right? It's like, you're not going to be able to, you know what I mean? Can you just run it back? You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't think if you ran that back, you'd get the same results, unfortunately. A lot of breaks. And the internal pressure to win in New York is big. And I think you can't now go. That's the thing about winning. You can't go back now, right? Like you were saying, like, you can't be like, well, we're rebuilding. You got to be patient. It's like you were just the four seed. Yes. So now it's like, shit, we got to make the playoffs next year. And they came out of fucking nowhere. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a bit of a tough spot to be in. I wouldn't want to be Leon. I don't know. I really don't know. There's no patience anymore, right?
No.
There's no like, now we're rebuilding. Because like before this past season, it was like, all we want is RJ to be good.
Yes.
And Mitch to keep developing. And like, if these rookies are good, like we can trade Randall for anybody. Like that's 1 year ago where we were.
But hold on. Because I still feel like based on all the conversations we're having about, well, we're not ready to trade for Dame yet, right? Like, we may not even be ready to trade for Beal yet. The reason is because they don't have enough in the asset chest, right? Like, Obi has not matured. Quickly has not matured. Even RJ, I think you could argue, has not fully matured because there's still questions about, you know, is he going to, what is he going to be eventually? So all those players, all your young players, and no, to say nothing of who you draft this year, Mitchell Robinson, if you want to throw him in, they do need to keep getting better. And that is arguably still the most important thing the franchise could do this season, is to make sure that those assets appreciate, continue to appreciate in value. But right. The difference is that can't all be what it's about. Now, it has to continue to be like, okay, we've taken away the LOL Knicks part of it, and we have to right. just keep it that way. Like, they can't go back and win, you know, I don't know what it would be, but like 35 games this year, I don't think that would play well.
And I think too, like, bringing in the veteran guys really helped the development of the younger guys, because it really yes. does hold them accountable. Because, I mean, you've seen in the past, it's like, oh, the only way to let these guys develop is to play 35 minutes and let them shoot whenever the fuck they want, Kevin Knox. And it doesn't work. And, you know, because this league is legit, and it's like, you know, you got a dude like Reggie Bullock and Alec Burks now on your team, and those dudes are like, fuck you, Rook. Like, I'm trying to play. I'm trying to get paid next year. I'm going to show you what's up. I'm going to score whenever I got to score like Burks and play two-way like Reggie was doing. So that definitely helped a ton. You know, I mean, look, it's, I think, you know, I'm foolish with this stuff. Like, I remember, you know, being like, nah, I'm not trading Amon Shumper for Kyle Lowry.
Like, listen, you weren't alone. You weren't alone in that.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, maybe it is. Maybe you just gotta go get Beal or Dame and trade RJ for real. Like,
at some point, maybe we could have that conversation. I'm not ready to have it now.
Yeah.
Purely, more than anything, I like these kids. Like, let me ask you this: between
me too.
So Mitch is kind of a little out of sight, out of mind, but I still put him in this conversation. Between Mitch, Quick, Obi, and RJ, who's the guy that you're like, I really want to be able to root for this kid?
RJ, 100%. RJ. I mean, my oldest 100%. Son is named RJ. My 10-year-old son is RJ, named RJ.
That's awesome.
Like, we have like a fucking bond. Like, yeah, I fuck with the kid. And I would say, I like all of them. I really do. I'm not crazy about Mitch's Instagram persona, but I know he's a good dude. But Quick and Obi have been
like, how
he's a bit of a knucklehead. You know, Mitch has had a bit of a strange past to begin with, but like Obi and Quickly, like, these kids are great culture dudes.
Yes.
Like, a week later, they're back in Greenberg at the work. You know what I mean? Working out. It's like, I love that. I love that, and I think that they'll both be pros for long times. I just don't know if I have my blinders on, you know what I mean? Because it's like, you don't, you know, Dame or Beal, I don't know, you know what I mean? Is that the next step? I don't know.
Don't you need to have, if you're a good organization, I'm not saying good organizations never trade away young players, because I, you know, it happens all the time. It leads to getting, you know, veterans who could help you win a championship. But like, don't you need to have a little bit of organizational blinders on to just have the confidence that if you keep a kid there, he's going to get better in year two and in year three and in year four? Like, I think that's a good 100%. Thing to a certain extent.
And I was watching, you know, and you're watching the playoffs, you're seeing a lot of homegrown talent. You know what I mean? And
yes.
The Giannis, Middleton's, Booker and Trey Young and the Embiid and Sixers, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, dudes who were, you know, Luka obviously is another guy, but you know, just like, you want that, but you know, then there's Brooklyn, you know, it's like, well, fuck it. We got three stars, you know, we'll be back next year.
Yeah, but they got two at once and then they had like, that was a weird scenario.
It was, but it, you know, do we have the transformative talent that is some of those guys I've mentioned, we do not. And I could be the biggest homer for RJ, but he is not. And I'm honestly just playing devil's advocate, but it's like, if the Blazers, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if I do that deal, but it's something to think about. Cause you know, we're just talking about different variations of what can occur. And I think obviously this would be the lowest chance of happening, but You know, it's, and I love RJ, but is RJ ever going to be a first team All NBA player? Because Dame Lillard is a first team All NBA player.
Yes, unequivocally so. He is, I mean, he's Dame. I don't know what else to say.
It's fucking hard. It's hard to say. You know what I mean? They don't come around that often.
No, well,
and when you have the third pick, and this is no slight to RJ, who I think is great, but we have to talk about what we think his ceiling is. When you have the third pick, you're trying to draft that guy.
You are.
So you don't have to go and get him, right? Trey, Giannis, Luka, right?
Yeah.
Embiid.
Yeah.
That's when you really win the lottery, when you draft a guy who can do that. So RJ was a third pick overall.
Well, look at me defending RJ.
I love RJ. Like, I just told you. Like, what's his ceiling? Like, you know, because this is going to come up a few more times. We're not done at Dame, whether it's Beal.
But that's my point. We're not done at Dame. There's going to be more guys, so we don't need to cash the chips in right now. That's, I think, where I'm at this point.
Fair.
We'll see. We'll see if they're as patient. Is there one player that's not currently on the Knicks that you would like to see play for the Knicks next season, whether it be someone from the draft, a free agent, a trade candidate? You mentioned Lowry already, so maybe someone other than Lowry.
I like Lowry. You know, I think he's a good stopgap guy, and I don't know if he's interested in coming here. And, you know, he might be more championship oriented, but
maybe,
you know, if you could hold on to, like, a, you know, you kind of overpay him and keep your cap flexibility and have him come in and just be such a huge upgrade at a position that was, you know, a bit of trouble.
A bit of trouble.
I mean, we played Elfrid Payton, who probably won't be in the league next year. So
I think he will get signed to play somewhere.
I can't believe we even had to talk about him on this pod. I was just narrowly attempting to avoid him. As far as your question, draft wise, you know, I like the kid from Connecticut. He's jumped up a ton.
There was a report today.
He's going like top 10 now.
He might. Well, now there's, who was I reading today? I apologize. I forget who it was, but someone said now there's a possibility he may go like 6.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Book Knight's, he's good.
So Book Knight is solid. I like Springer. I like Trey Mann a lot, you know, in that 19 to 21 range.
Well, man worked. I was told man worked out with them today.
I'm not a Kispert guy. I'm not. I guess it's Duncan. You know, maybe it's Duncan Robinson part two.
That's if it. But that's the thing. If it is. But again, I'm not sure you can project anyone being Duncan Robinson. You know, part two, because he is so good and so unique in what he's able to do.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
I'm not super high on him. I know it's amazing how much he's dropped, and just in terms of talking, free agent wise, I don't know. It's a weird class. It's no one that's like super jumping out to me. But I would love for the Knicks to bring back D Rose. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah.
He just brought good vibes all around. Played great, obviously. Cannot play 35 minutes a game, poor dude.
But Lane was almost best about player to fall off. In that series, in the Atlanta series, which you should
trust
not forget.
Me. The D Rose stands hit my mentions because if you watch the Knicks all year, RJ Barrett was our second best player.
Yes,
and I somehow mentioned that in some sort of conversation, and Derrick Rose, he just has so many diehard fans like who just ride with D Rose.
It's uncanny how many people still ride with him from the Chicago MVP days.
It's tight. I was like, yo, it's love. Like I respect how much you rock with D Rose. And we watched him this year, because the last Knicks run was like, oof, this
not so great.
I totally got it. I was like, I totally get it. He's a very likable guy. So I'd love to bring him back. And we're going to have to figure out the center situation, because Mitch has not been healthy. I'd love to bring back Noel, but I don't know, man. So it's going to be interesting. Rashawn Holmes vibe or what?
A little bit too much. Based on what I think he's going to get paid, a couple too many pesos for me for him.
Just kind of, I think keeping the flexibility. I saw the article. I didn't mean to cut you off, but just, you know, I saw Ian Begley wrote about it the other day, and yeah. I think keeping the flexibility right now and trying to do what you did last year and you know, kind of just plug and play a bit, and hopefully you bringing in some more young guys. You still have a ton of assets. Is the move until you're ready to go and make that like major splash.
But I think the NBA is really about not necessarily, I'm sure many people have said this before me, but I did just think of it, so I will say it. It's not so much what you pay guys, it's when you pay guys, which is to say, like, the Suns right now, they will happily give DeAndre Ayton a max contract because they have, I mean, Paul is a little bit on the older side, but putting that aside, they have all their pieces in place. So they don't have to worry necessarily too much about paying 25% of their cap to a guy who is, like, don't get me wrong, obviously he's a very good center. He, 20 to start the finals, I guess, and has had some other great games in the playoffs, but he's still like, you know, he's 16 points a game. He doesn't play make. He doesn't shoot threes. He's like,
right.
You know, but you could do that if you're them and you're in this position. If you're the Knicks and you got Mitchell Robinson here and you're sitting and you're watching the playoffs and you're like, okay, the Bucks don't really need to play a center. I mean, granted, they have Giannis, but again, the point is that, like, they're putting Giannis at center. They can do that. Clippers didn't need to play a center. Capella killed us. He got played off the floor a little bit in the Eastern Conference Finals. There are other examples of this throughout the league. Like, I just, people talking about, you got to make Mitch restricted so you can get to lock him up. I'm like, I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the finals really shifted when they decided to play Giannis at the five and kind of limit Brooke Lopez a bit, because they were just killing Brooke on those screens.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I would have loved to see more Randall at the five last year.
Well,
maybe playing. Yeah.
I wonder next. That's, you're asking me what I want to see next season. I want to see a little Randall Obi together. Just give me 5 minutes a game.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. I think it's necessary. And, you know, it's obviously a lot depends on if, you know, Obi can keep improving as a shooter. But I'd love to just see Obi, you know, roll to the rim a bit more and just show those bunnies. You know what I mean? he's just so silly athletic. It's just exciting. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I mean, they drafted him last year. Lottery pick, and then to just flip them, it's not ideal.
I don't want them to do it. I really don't.
It's never a great reflection of a front office to go and flip your lottery pick right away. But we'll see. We will see. Colin Sexton, I joked with Dave today about it. He reminds me a bit of when, at least I did back in the day, when we really wanted Jamal Crawford. And it was like, I just need a guy who could score. Get me a guy. Okay, this dude could play the one. He could play the two. He could score. But he's just coming. The Cavs were just so bad. Just like those Bulls teams were. Just no culture. Green light, go. Kevin Love sulking. Oof.
But that goes both ways, though.
I'm not a big Sexton guy, but I know he's okay. I liked him at Bama. I don't know.
But to me, that goes both ways. Is he's
a
part
dog.
Of the reason the Cavs are terrible, or is he a victim of the Cavs being terrible? It's probably somewhere in between.
I mean, you know, if he was really that great, they would not be trying to get rid of him. They would figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the facts, Jack. It's a fact. But people don't want to see that. They just look at the stats and be like, oh, he scored 25 a game. Bro, first off, how many Cavs games y'all watched last year? I watched the four of the times they played the Knicks. I wasn't watching the Cavs, and I got an NBA ticket.
Three times, actually.
I wasn't watching the damn Cavs. Fuck, they're terrible.
I watch a little bit of the Cavs. They're not good. You didn't miss much. I don't know. I'm the more we talk, and we'll see what ends up happening. I feel like this will be the off season
of resisting temptation for the Knicks. Just there will be opportunities, but just be smart about the ones you take. Don't make any moves that you do not absolutely need to. And then the hardest part in the NBA is knowing when is that opportunity that's too good to pass up. Like when you have to know, and who knows, maybe it is Sexton. Maybe it involves trading away Obi. I don't know. Because there's always a move, right? There's always a move when you look back on with successful organizations when they turn the corner, like, man, they were really smart. How did they get by him so low? And you point to whoever it is. Maybe Sexton's that guy for us. I don't know.
Totally. And you know, I would say at least there is a greater chance with this front office for that to occur than we've had in the past.
Yes.
And, you know, as an optimistic Knicks fan, we've had a lot of blind faith and a lot of really stupid people. But I think we, after this past year and change, one can hope that this front office at least has the capability of making that move. So a little bit of faith because, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, dude, it would have been very different if we traded Shumpert for Kyle Lowry. And I know that's just such a total random thing, but you know what I'm saying?
No, it's not. Like, but there's so many crossroads.
Like, you can't trade this dude. You can't trade that dude. I mean, even now you look back at the Porzingis trade, it hasn't really been that massive of a loss. I mean, it was a bad trade. Probably could have gotten better assets, but it is what it is. You know what I mean?
I think there's stages you go through as an organization, and the first stage is you have to turn the corner to be just a decent team. And I said this throughout the season, and I'll say it again. I think they accomplished that, and I think that was the toughest part for this particular team. Now it's about just, you know, you improve bit by bit by bit. Don't try to bite the whole, you know. Bite off more than you could chew, and then you
got babies crying.
I know. I think my wife may be in.
I'm amazed my kids are so quiet right now.
How many?
You got two littles.
I got two. I got a 4-month and then a 4-year, soon to be 5.
Love it. Yeah, I got 3.
You? I know you got 3. Remind me the ages again. I forget the
10,
ages.
10, 8, and 4.
10, 8, and 4. That's.
It's awesome. But it's fine.
If the youngest is 4 now, you just came. I feel like you've maybe now, unless you're going to have another one. I don't want to put any.
No.
Okay.
I'm never just that.
Making sure.
No, 3 is good.
Listen, you know, I think personally, I'll tell you, I'm not going to hide behind what I've said in the past. I think anyone who has more than 2 children should be certified as clinically insane. I could justify 2 because you give a sibling to the one. The third, I don't understand.
Yeah, no, people told us, they're like, having 3 is easier than 2. And you know what I call those people? Liars. Those are liars. No, but it's fun. We're having a lot of fun. My 10-year-old is super, watches all the Knicks games with me. We're huge fans. He's super into it. So I was able to keep him a Knicks fan rather than him jump ship with Clippers or Lakers.
Good job.
And so that's super fun. And, you know, we're hyped. We've been watching the finals. We're super excited for the finals tonight.
Yeah. Well, this is going to air, after maybe the Bucks are crowned NBA champions. We don't know. We'll see. Do you have a prediction for tonight?
I'm rooting for the Bucks. Yeah. I'm rooting for the Bucks.
Okay.
I am a Giannis fan. I dig Giannis.
I like Giannis.
I dig his vibe. He's just, his story is great.
It is a great story. And he seems like a good dude. Like a genuinely good guy, which is cool. All right. Well, listen, I don't know for sure if I'm going to have you on before the season. So give me give me a little prediction here.
I will predict there's some sort of draft day trade. They're not taking 19 and 21.
Okay,
there's just no way. Whether they even trade out and go for future assets, there's no way they're taking 2 dudes. It's just not going to happen in the first round. I will say that. I can't see it happening.
I can't either.
Besides that,
I'm not going to ask you to give me a record, but give me,
just like some roster like vibes. I think I'm going to side with you in that it'll be a bit more conservative. You know, it's really easy to kind of talk about all the insane things that could occur, but I think it'll be a bit more conservative than we probably imagine it.
Okay.
But I really don't know. And this is a very interesting offseason for us because yes. It's like it can go a few different ways pretty quick. Flexibility and assets. Oh, gosh. And in the past, we really would dink this up. But let's hope Leon and crew are going to just do all right, you know, because it's like. You know, it doesn't happen that often, but no. I like where they're at. So I you know, and the 22 class seems like a better
that's pretty
free
good.
Agent class. So if you got to stick it out and fight with what you got and make some improvements incrementally, I'm not mad at that. Because, you got to think too. I mean, you know, look, we can end on this, but Philly's going to be good next year.
Yep.
And they're going to have Embiid. They're probably going to trade Ben Simmons for somebody very good.
Yes.
Boston's going to be good. They got Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
Right? Brooklyn, if they're healthy, which is a big F at this point because it's kind of been a bit weird with those guys, they're going to be legit. And Milwaukee might win the chip tonight. So you don't have to be in a huge rush. You know what I mean? And Atlanta made the conference finals.
I was about to say, you didn't even mention Atlanta. You didn't mention Miami. And they're, you know who knows? Maybe there's another team that
so it's like up. It's fun. Let's be good. I loved being good, but like, you know, you're not winning the chip next year. Let's just call it like it is.
Listen, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
I mean, if it happens, I'm a fucking go. I would go crazy. I would cry. I would cry. How much would you cry? We'd cry. I would cry like a baby.
I'd
cry.
I genuinely don't know. Gosh. I don't know what my actual
reaction would be. It's all bottled up. If it happens in our lifetime, it's like a fucking sieve just all come out, dude. It's going to be the greatest moment of our lives. I just hope I'm still
cognitively functioning and, you know, I know what I'm watching.
I was like those 90-year-old Cubs fans. I mean, they were like, you know what I mean? We'll be like that.
Oh man. Rich, yeah. Can you
all right. Plug. You want me yes. to plug?
Yeah, I need a plug.
Yeah. So new album, it's called Jams. It's out now. Anywhere you stream music. Go check it out. Got a video coming out next week. I'll be dropping on socials. I also have a podcast around the album. It's called That's My Jam. It's where the guest picks a favorite album of theirs and we'll listen beforehand and discuss it. It's more like a music nostalgia kind of podcast. Dave actually was a guest. I'm doing 8 episodes of that. We're 3 in. So, check them out. And shouts to Nick's Film School, man. You guys are doing great work. I'm a big fan. I'm happy to be a friend of the show.
You're
a big happy.
You're a big friend, big time friend of the show. I am a fan of yours. You inspire me from afar, doing what you do. It is, it's just great to see good people, succeeding and, B, just doing good work. And,
Thanks, dude.
You definitely do that. If you're listening to this and you have not checked out the album yet, go check out the album. You will not be disappointed. I just want to say that one time.
It's a mood lifter. It'll bring some smiles to you. That's for sure.
And who doesn't want to smile?
Exactly.
On that note, Eric, stick around for a sec. Everybody else, thank you for listening to another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. We'll be back with you with some more good times before you know it. Adios.